Good morning. I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The official start date of summer is June 21st, which means it's time to get set for summer at the movies. Unofficially, the season, of course, has already started. We've seen Sex in the City, Iron Man 2, to name a couple. As usual, it's Sequel City with Shrek, Twilight, and Toy Story opening. Again. But there are always sleeper hits and pleasant little surprises along the way, too. We'll find out what to look forward to this hour, what to skip, and find out what you're excited to see. Mike Mayo joins us this hour. He's a former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, where he wrote the column It Came from the Video Store, author of Video Premieres, Horror Show, and War Movies. And he's the editor of the Video Hound DVD Guide. Well, what are you dying to see? Are you tired of sequels or feeling good about going and seeing another Shrek, another Iron Man? The number to call this morning is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send your email to talk@wpr.org. And Mike Mayo, thanks so much for being on again with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I always enjoy this because I never know what you guys are going to want to talk about.
Exactly. There's always people who know about movies nobody's ever heard of, but, you know, it's good to know about them. Well, you know, I remember last time you were on, we were genuflecting at the feet of Robert Downey Jr. Yes. Iron Man was out. And here you are back again, and we can talk about this movie. Here's a listen to Iron Man 2.
You come from a family of thieves and butchers. And now, like all guilty men, you try to rewrite your own history. And you forget all the lives the Stark family has destroyed.
Speaking of thieves, where did you get this design?
My father, Anton Uncle.
Oh, I never heard of him.
My father is the reason you're alive.
The reason I'm alive is because you had a shot, you took it, you missed.
Did I?
Now, so this time the villain is a scary Russian guy. What did you think about this one, Mike Mann?
Well, that was Mickey Rourke that we were hearing mostly there, and he is a scary guy. I mean, Mickey Rourke's just a scary guy. That's all there is to it, no matter what he's playing. They almost could have asked me to tell them what to do for Iron Man 2. I think it was one of those rare sequels that was every bit as good as the original. As we'll probably say a lot today, like all sequels, it lacks the freshness. With the first film, you've got the discovery of the character and the situation, and that's a lot of fun. But what Iron Man 2 did that I liked so much was that it essentially kept Robert Downey Jr. out of the suit as much as possible and tried to focus on his character, Tony Stark, the real guy, which to me was the most interesting part of the first film and the most interesting part of the second. It says an awful lot about the film and the series that it attracted my wife as much as it did me. She is only a casual moviegoer, but she is a huge Robert Downey Jr. fan, and as soon as she saw that movie was coming out, she made sure that she took that Friday off and that we went out to the movies so that she could see it. Being a movie reviewer's wife, you have to really choose which ones you're going to see, and you make sure that your husband takes you to them.
Do you think that they gave Robert Downey Jr. enough to do? I mean, I know it seemed as though before his career had this renaissance, that he used to do sort of more serious movies or more sort of acty parts, and now he's doing Hollywood superhero blockbusters.
Yeah, and along with that, he also did Sherlock Holmes that came out last Christmas, and I believe they are now making a second one of those, too. I guess you could say that, but when you are a working actor and you are offered so much money to star in one of these big films that take a fairly long time to do, you don't knock one off in a couple of weeks, I can understand how it would be very hard to say no. You're only going to have this kind of popularity for a limited amount of time, and you try to make the most of it. And I really thought he did make the most of it in Iron Man 2. I thought his performance was very good in it. And he wasn't just retreading the same ground that he did in the first film, that we learned more about the character. I think they've also laid the groundwork clearly for the third one that will be out in a couple of years. So I'm not going to criticize him for this. As long as he's making movies, I will be out there buying tickets.
I agree. I think I will be too. What about Mickey Rourke? Here's another guy who's had a career renaissance.
Yeah, and Oscar nominated a couple of years ago for The Wrestler, and was kind of playing a variation on that same character. My problem with Mickey Rourke is he just looks so strange when he is on screen with the weird hair and the face. I find myself mesmerized by him for some of the wrong reasons. He's a very good villain, I suppose. I was not one of the fans of The Wrestler. As impressive as his work in it was, I just had a lot of problems with that movie that went beyond that. So I'm kind of, you can't argue with his success. I hope he manages to continue it for a while.
Well, he's kind of in the Willem Dafoe niche, where he's got this very distinctive look, and people are going to cast him in those roles.
And then that's an interesting comparison, because as near as I can tell, Willem Dafoe has a very tranquil personal life and works pretty much constantly, and you don't hear about all of the various strange things that happened to Mickey Rourke happening to Willem Dafoe. And I know absolutely nothing about him other than what I've seen on screen.
When you say strange things happening to him, what do you mean?
Well, Mickey Rourke has had a tumultuous personal life, and you know, kind of his career has gone way up and down, where no one would hire him for anything, and he, when he appears on the red carpet, he almost always has this little chihuahua with him, and that just, I don't know, maybe I've got a little chihuahua thing too. I don't know.
Okay, forget Mickey Rourke. What else do you like?
What else do I like this year? There's one that just came out this week on DVD, and it was in theaters fairly recently, so I feel like it's still a new movie, and people who missed it should give it another shot. And that's the Denzel Washington film, The Book of Eli, which is a sort of a thinking person's post-apocalyptic action movie. It takes a kind of a road warrior or scenario and really does something with it. It turns into a much more serious movie than you think it's going to be. It's made by the Hughes brothers, and it has this really distinctive, unsaturated, almost black and white look to it. And Denzel Washington is the title character, Eli, who is walking across this post-apocalyptic landscape, and no, I'm not going to say anything about what he's doing, because that's sort of the point of the film. But it's just put together brilliantly, and I think it's a terrific movie that deserves a bigger audience than it ever found in theaters. And so I hope it finds that on DVD and pay-per-view cable, where it is now.
Sounds like it's in the same vein as The Road, the adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's novel.
It is, but I think it is infinitely superior to The Road, which I just had a lot of trouble with, too. It is being more serious, like The Road was, but it also is a much more entertaining movie, and just, for my money, all around better. I struggled through The Road. I forced myself to watch it. I was surprised when The Book of Eli was over. It was just such a good movie, and it kept me riveted all the way through in a way that The Road simply did not.
Anything else you're looking forward to this summer that maybe isn't a mainstream Hollywood release? Anything surprising out there?
Yeah, there's one that is, I believe it's going to be released. It's out in just a few theaters now, and will be going out into art house theaters later. It's called Winter's Bone. It's about a young girl in the Ozarks whose father is a meth cooker, and it's her trying to find him. I haven't seen it. I have heard really good things about it. It's the kind of movie that you don't see in theaters very often this time of year, and because of that, it's a real antidote to the kind of light, fluffy, special effects heavy things that are out there now. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and hope that it will be out where a lot of other people can, too.
Okay, so that one's called Winter's Bone?
Yes.
Someone once told me that any book or movie that has bone in the title will be good.
Well,
do you agree?
I have to think about that.
I don't know. What was the one? Now I'm not remembering. What was the book? That was a best-selling book about the girl who had been...
Lovely Bones.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Does that hold true? The book was certainly good.
But the film really did not do as well as people had thought. To me, that was one of those... It was built on a convention that could work on the printed page, but this is the story of the girl who is killed and then narrates the story from the afterlife. I never really quite bought into seeing that on screen. To me, it just didn't work very well.
That could be an adaptation thing. Well, so I guess we have to talk about Twilight, right?
Well, we can, but... For me, this will be a completely intellectual discussion. I made a decision that I would have nothing to do with these films. I know that they're out there. I know what they are. I like my horror films and my vampire films to really, you know, kind of be nasty and horrifying. And so I just refuse to watch Twilight films. I know what
they
are.
You're taking a moral stand.
They appeal to a young audience. And I certainly cannot argue with their success, and would never even try to do that. I just admit up front, these films are not for me, and anything I had to say about them I think would be suspect.
Well, don't you feel, though, not to challenge you too much, but that you're missing out on a whole slice of what is occupying a large part of your country people's brains by not seeing Twilight?
Well, so do video games. I don't have very much to do with them either. I pay enough attention to know who the actors are. And the young woman, Kristen Stewart, I saw her in another film last year, Adventureland.
That was a great movie.
I thought she was absolutely wonderful in.
And she was also in, now all the titles are escaping me, but the movie about the man who went back to the wilderness and lost his life.
Oh, gosh.
I know. We're a great
Sean
pair.
Sean Penn directed it, the young man.
It was a good movie. I wish
so
I could
good.
Think. Yeah. Right, right. Well, so I think she was in that. So, I mean, I guess what we're saying is it sounds as though you think she has some acting chops, whether or not Twilight is any good.
Right, yeah. I think she is an excellent actress from just based on those two films. Into the Wild, that's the name of that movie.
Into the Wild, right.
Yes. Yes, just on the basis of those two, I would say she's a terrific actress. But the Twilight series, I pay no attention to the vampire series on HBO either.
True Blood.
Yeah, just can't get into it.
Well, speaking of things that are a little heavier, I Am in Love, I just was reading about, with Tilda Swinton. Have you heard about this one?
Yes, it's... I believe it's opening in limited release this week or very soon. She is, again, an excellent actress, won a Best Supporting Actress Academy Award a couple of years ago for her work in Michael Clayton, the terrific George Clooney movie. I thought she was excellent in that. And she's made a habit of doing, mixing up big-budget Hollywood films and more adventurous independent films all through her career. That's really been the hallmark of her work. And going back into the 90s, I believe I can't remember the title of it, a film that she did where she played a character who was both male and female. And it's really some interesting things.
And in this one, it sounds as though it's got kind of an Mrs. Robinson-ish twist to it. She plays a Russian mother who moves in with the Milanese family and has an affair with her son's friend, I think.
Yes. And I have learned not to judge films by little plot synopses because they can really sound terrible and turn out to be wonderful. And if she's involved in it, I think that means that if you are interested in serious, risky movies, you almost have to take a look and give her the benefit of the doubt to begin with.
Well, what have you seen this summer that missed the mark for you, that was a big, fat waste of your life?
Oh, big fat waste. The A-Team came pretty close.
Yeah.
Though I have to say, I did not go into it with very high expectations. And I think you could kind of damn it with faint praise by saying it lived up, you know, it was completely faithful to the original TV series. But to have Liam Neeson, a really good actor, in something like that, that's just kind of silly special effects. They really didn't do anything with the characters, and the report I heard was that over the course of this film's being made, 11 different writers contributed various parts of the script, and it was just caught in the Hollywood development process so long that whatever reason someone might have had at some point for saying we must make this movie got lost along the way, and it just became a project that so many people had invested time and money in that it had to go forward even though there was no real reason for it to go forward. And that's certainly what I thought wound up on the screen at the end.
I think you could say that, I mean, about a lot of sequels that come out. Why?
I think so. With the TV adaptations, I think that's something where Hollywood is just set up so that originality is to be feared. You make a movie based on a TV series for much the same reason you make a sequel. You have a feeling that the audience is already out there, and you just need to let them know that the film exists, so it's guaranteed a certain amount of profitability. But with sequels, the good ones, you actually have more to say. There is more story to be told. I think that was the case with Iron Man 2. I hope that's going to be the case, we'll see tomorrow, with Toy Story 3, which comes out. I thought Shrek 4, I wouldn't have called it a complete waste of time, simply because I like those characters, and it had been a long time since the one before it, so I was ready to go back into the theater and see them again. My reaction to it was like it is to most sequels. I'd have to say that I liked it more than loved it, and I really loved the original.
Well, you mentioned a couple of those kids' movies coming out, and as we go into the break, let's listen to a clip from, I think you liked Shrek more, so let's listen to that one. This is a clip from the new Shrek.
Yeah! Waffle! And I thought the Waffle Fairy was just a bedtime story. Sticky stacks of golden therapy deliciousness!
Donkey, don't eat that.
Mm. There's a stack of freshly made waffles in the middle of the forest. Don't you find that a wee bit suspicious?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gonna... What are you... Mm-hmm. Bad donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Mustn't.
Mm-hmm. I said don't. Don't. No. Get away from it.
You're dead.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Uh-oh.
Look out! Donkey!
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
A clip there from the new Shrek movie, which is out now. Talking summer movies this hour with Mike Mayo, our guest. He's a former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, and he wrote the column It Came from the Video Store. Another of... A couple books he's written are Video Premieres, Horror Show, and War Movies. And we'd love to hear what you think. What summer movies have you already seen, and what are you looking forward to? What do you think about the offering of movies during the summer? It seems to be largely dominated by sequels and lighter fare. Do you like that, or do you wish we were seeing some of the heavier subjects in the summer as well? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send your email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert back with you this Thursday morning. I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking summer movies this morning with Mike Mayo, who is a former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, where he wrote the column It Came from the Video Store, also editor of the Video Hound DVD Guide. And we're wondering this morning what you're excited about seeing. Are you looking for some things to see with your children? What about some grown-up fare that you think maybe would challenge the mind a little bit? What do you think about all the sequels? Are you tired of them? The number 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send your email to talk@wpr.org. And let's take a call now, Mike, from Diane, who's with us from La Crosse. Hey, Diane.
Hi. Well, I've been waiting all spring for the movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo to come to La Crosse, and I've given up hope. I don't think it will. Have you heard anything about that movie? And there are two other movies from the Millennium Trilogy, and I'm sure they probably won't come to La Crosse either.
No, but it will be available on DVD within the month, I'm pretty sure. These, of course, are based on the hugely popular novels, and they are, I understand, working on American versions now too. But the originals that you're mentioning only were in very limited release in big cities. I don't know if there's going to be any theatrical release more than we've already seen, but I'm pretty sure that by the end of July, at least, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo will be on DVD.
Okay. And what have the responses been to that movie from the people who have seen it?
Very positive. I understand that they're excellent. I haven't seen it myself. It's one that I'm really looking forward to.
Yes.
Because they've been the books have been so popular, and just everything I've heard about it makes me think this is something original and different, and taking a fresh approach to a mystery that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Diane. Yeah, I've heard good things about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as well. I haven't made it to see it yet. Heard it's on screen maybe a bit darker than the book is.
Yeah.
But I guess that remains to be seen. Let's see. Let's go to Ray with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Oh, hi. I heard your earlier comment, and, I'm not sure that summer's really the time to unload a lot of, like, heavy emotional fare. You know, when you said that, I got into my mind the image of some really emotional, wrenching movies. You know, people get out of school and they really want to experience a lot of freedom and excitement. So maybe an Iron Man or a Men in Black, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing, you know?
So save the heavy stuff for the winter when we're already depressed.
Well, sure. I mean, it's conducive to that kind of material.
Right.
You know, not just winter, but, you know, you can do autumn and, you know, not to mention that might be closer to Oscar time and when people might be looking to garner the Academy's attention for an award or two. Besides, you know, I think that during summer they are shooting for the youth market. The thing is, I think they're doing these movies rather well. Sure, they can be called fluff and maybe lighter fare, but I think they're being handled with a lot more intelligent script writing and approach, that they're not just being, you know, pawned off for kids.
And they're certainly being done with a lot more technical expertise than we've ever seen before. Something like Iron Man 2, you know, just has unbelievable special effects, and that they really put all the work into that. Now, I agree with you that we don't necessarily need the really heavy dramatic fare in summer. But think back to about a year ago, and I think it was almost exactly a year ago now, was when we were seeing Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds out in theaters. And to me, that's a movie that is very enjoyable, simply on an entertainment level, but also is trying to say some fairly complicated things and is a challenging movie and just a visually stunning movie. You can be entertaining but not be, you know, just kind of aimed at the lowest common denominator, the way so many summer movies are.
Now, Mike, it used to be, and this was maybe going back about 10 years when I was reading more about this, that Hollywood was deciding what was going to work based on focus groups of 13-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
would round them up and they would, you know, they'd be sitting there in their blue jeans chewing gum and they'd be watching movies that were supposed to be geared toward everybody. For some reason, they were the big indicators. Is that still the case?
I don't think so. And I'm sure they still have the focus groups and do that sort of thing. But I think the 13-year-old boys are now, you know, playing video games or they're online. They're simply not that big a demographic group within the ticket-buying public. There's been a lot of talk about how the very poor reviews that Sex and the City 2 has gotten, but it has still made more than $70 million. If the critics aren't liking it, the fans are going to see it, and those are not 13-year-old boys who are going to Sex and the City 2.
So it sounds like there's not one central group anymore. It sounds like
no, I don't think so.
It's pretty splintered. Well, thank you so much for your call, Ray. And another call here from Mike with us from New Berlin. Hi, Mike. I'm sorry, Tim. Hey, Tim, go ahead.
Yes, I know that your guest, Mike, wrote a book or has a column that's called It Came from the Video Store. And the video stores, the selection is poor. It's pathetic. And, you know, maybe where Mike is from, he has this selection from a video store. We don't. I thought that I would introduce the kids to Groucho Marx. I go to Blockbuster. I ask the clerk, and she says, "Who is Groucho Marx?" And it's not just that. It's not just that. I thought, you know, we'll get an old class. We'll get True Grit, something for the little kids to get introduced to John Wayne. They didn't have that. They had a couple of John Wayne movies. But whether it's John Wayne, Groucho Marx, Woody Allen, I mean, when you say, it's just that the title of your column, I guess, is It Came from the Video Store. What comes from the video store is usually about 25 copies of the same flop that isn't selling anywhere else. But, and it's just around here. I mean, maybe there is a selection out there someplace, but this idea of choice that we can, you know, that we have choice to, you know, introduce our kids or entertain ourselves with, I just don't see it.
Well, in my own defense, let me say that I wrote the column back in the days when real good video stores did exist. And it's unfortunately those days are gone now. You have to really look to find a good video store. There are very few of them left, and they have been supplanted by Netflix and you know, Blockbuster mail services. That's where you have to go anymore, I think, to get that kind of choice. The really good store that stocks the old Groucho Marxes and the old John Waynes, I admit, they are very, very hard to find. And that's a shame because the movies are out there. The DVDs are there. If they would just, you know, hold on to them. But economics are what they are, and so I'm afraid. I wish I could be more hopeful about the future for the neighborhood video store.
Thanks so much for the call, Tim. So, in general, would you say that, you know, video stores are still holding their head above water, just barely, or do you think they're sort of going down for the third time?
I'm not sure. I think it's. I know anecdotally that the video stores that have been in business for a long time and have a strong customer base and a huge inventory seem to be maintaining, but it's tougher and tougher. As we were talking about, I just mentioned the Book of Eli, which just came out on DVD Tuesday. Well, that same day, it also arrived on pay-per-view on a lot of cable systems. That's the kind of competition that is very tough for a video store to compete with, because that's going to be the bulk of their business, is the new releases. And when I can get those for $4.95 by pushing a button in my living room rather than driving to the video store and getting a DVD, that makes it very, very hard.
Well, what do you do, Mike? Do you do Netflix, or do you try to patronize those local stores?
I try to patronize my local store. I do use Netflix. I am still old school enough. I prefer to go to the movies, to have the big screen experience, but I have had so many bad experiences with rude audiences that I now make a point of trying to go to an early matinee in the middle of the week when I hope the theater is going to be deserted, simply because I can't put up with people sitting next to me texting their friends and things like that. It's just too much anymore.
Okay, let's get to another phone call here. We have Marcy joining us from Wausau. Hi, Marcy.
Hi there. I would just like to preface it by saying who I am and what I'm seeing and what I would like to see. I'm a person who loves movies. From the time I was little, we used to go every Saturday. Just the whole scene of going to the movies, I love being in the show. I call it the show. You know, you go. It's one of my loves. Well, unfortunately, I used to go once a week. I mean, literally, there was just so many movies to see. Now what I'm seeing is, I call it categories, cartoons, comic books, TV shows. Some movies are an hour 20. I'm thinking, this is not a movie. This is a TV show. And A-Team is, kind of an indicator of that. Or special effects to the point where it's just ridiculous. I'm not interested in all your fancy special effects. All you're seeing is special effects. I want to see an actual story on the screen. I mean, we have thousands of years of history. We could have stories about people, circumstances, something. But the fair now, I wouldn't even go. I mean, I look at marquees, and I'd say 75% of these marquees are in those categories: cartoons, comic books, TV shows, or special effects. And I just not paying money. And unfortunately, one of my loves of life, as I say, sometimes I can go and it'd be, I'm surprised. It's been months, and I haven't seen a movie. I will literally go because I love going where the lights come down. But it's just lousy movies, and I don't even call them movies. I do not call these things movies, actually.
Marcy, yeah. I cannot agree with you more, and all I can say is I hope you can find some film festivals to go to, because what you're describing is exactly what you get when you go to one of the big film festivals, be it Montreal or Toronto or Telluride. If save your money and go to one of those, and that's where you will find those story-driven and character-driven movies that you're talking about. You'll also find a lot of people just like yourself who are wanting to see the movies too. And the most fun that I have at festivals is talking to the other people in line. When we're all standing there, we got there a half hour ahead of time because we want to be able to be sure that we were going to see this, and then you find that you have these great conversations that strike up between strangers that are just really enjoyable. So, like I say, save up your money and go to a film festival. That's where you'll see those movies now.
Yeah, and I actually absolutely love it. Actually, the other evening, there was some movies I'm thinking, how come I never saw this? Because I'm a person, if you can watch a director, directors, you know the names. Certain actors, they'd be generally in quality movies and such like that. The other evening, I stepped to like 2 in the morning. I thought, how come I never saw this movie? It was with Miranda Richardson. I thought, this is a great movie. But these theaters here, they have 15, 20 shows, and they don't have, I'm thinking, come on, put a show here for somebody who's got a brain who can think. I mean, I can tell you movies that fella was talking about showing his kids, and I think, I see with some of my little nieces and nephews, and I'm thinking, they haven't seen a movie. These are not movies. These are not really a movie. I mean, when I say classics, I don't want to say it makes you sound whatever, but these are actually quality stories for everybody. I think a big part of it is the theaters themselves. They're really kind of taking the easy, cheap way out here because they show these big, flashy, kind of garish movie things, and I'm thinking, I'm not sitting and watching this. I'm not, my nieces and nephews, even though the kids, I'm thinking, oh, come on, these are not, even kids can do better than this.
Well, I mean, what about, Mike and Madison, we've got the new Sundance, and there's another one in San Francisco, and they're not just showing art house, they were supposed to just show indie films, they're showing Sex and the City, they're showing Iron Man. What about art house films? Are they being screened?
It depends on the region you live in and what kind of theater you have there. And I know with a lot of theaters, even the ones that are owned by the big chains, Marcy or anyone else, if you learn about a film, like say the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that you want to see, contact your local theater manager and let him or her know what you're interested in. I can't guarantee you'll get results, but I know that all of these people will listen to their customers, and I can't say again exactly how much freedom they have to decide what they're going to program, but they'll want to hear from you, and if they can't give you any satisfaction on that, maybe they can point you to another theater or someplace else where you can.
Well, let's take our second break right now, and we will come back and keep talking summer movies with our guest this morning, Mike Mayo, who is a former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, where he wrote the column It Came from the Video Store. He's also the author of Video Premieres and Horror Show, the editor of the Video Hound DVD Guide as well. Well, we'd like to hear what you're interested in seeing this summer. Are you tired of sequels? Are you like Marcy? You want to see some more art films, some more unusual fare, some originality out of Hollywood? Or do you think we are getting highly produced, thoughtful, intelligent movies that are maybe a step above what we used to get over the summer? Our number 1-800-642-1234, or send your email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert with you. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk about summer movies with our guest Mike Mayo, a former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times. He's also the editor of the Video Hound DVD Guide. And Mike, before break, you were mentioning that you go to matinees now when there's not going to be lots of annoying people texting next to you. And I wonder what you think of this new technology. It's a new app from Best Buy, I gather, where you are supposed to be messing around with your iPhone during the movie. Have you heard about that?
Appalling. What are you... No!
I read it last night in the New York Times. There's an article. I think the application is called Movie Mode. And there's a movie coming out called Despicable Me. I'm sure you've heard of that one.
Yeah.
And supposedly you have your iPhone going, and it translates what some of the creatures in the movie are saying. It translates their text. And the idea there is not really, apparently, that it's a one-off thing for this movie. They plan to keep this moving for the future. They're not saying how, but I mean, the obvious critique is, do we really want more people fiddling around with their tech during the movie?
So I'm sitting there watching Despicable Me, and the guy next to me is going to have his iPhone on, and it's going to be all lit up, and it's going to be translating what some character on the screen is saying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be punching him in the face because he's bothering me while I'm trying to watch this movie.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what it sounds like. I mean, maybe they've found a way to make it less intrusive. I'm not sure how they would do that, but that's what it sounds like. And it sounds as though it's going to keep going. I don't know if it'll take off or not, but it is out there.
It sounds pretty despicable to me. Let's put it
I had a feeling you'd say that. Well, we'll have to see how it pans out. I mean, it could be interesting. Maybe it'll just be a quirk that people try out for 5 seconds and shut it off.
I hope so, because it really annoys me when people do this. And it was bad enough when people talked on their phones, but don't they understand that movies are light? And so if you're sitting there holding up your lighted instrument, it is every bit as intrusive as if you're talking on it. And I am floored by the just, you know, inconsiderate nature of moviegoers these days.
Let's go to the phones again. Let's see, Jim joining us from Hanover, Illinois. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here, and what an interesting and fun show. I'm just really responding to just something that your guest was saying about the boorishness of audiences, and I'm not trying to gloat, but we're here in what's known as the tri-state area, the upwest, northwest corner of Illinois, right by Dubuque, Iowa, and that's really where we go to see movies here, and we lucked into, I think, both a pretty respectful movie-going audience, which is interesting, because we didn't have any interesting releases for many years, apart from the mainstream, but a group of film enthusiasts got together and basically opened a movie theater in an abandoned theater, and we get some really good films, including The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I just saw recently. So, you know, Dubuque's not a really big city, but it's possible to make these things happen, and I really like your guest suggestion of say something, talk to the manager,
yeah,
let them know where you are, and that's what I think so many people in a passive culture are unwilling to do. They don't really want to take any action about it. They just want it to appear. They just want to see what's coming out next week,
yeah.
But I agree that if you took some action, something would probably happen.
That's a great story, Jim. It sounds like a twist on Margaret Mead. Never doubt that a small band of concerned moviegoers can change cinema.
Well, exactly. It's very encouraging in many ways. But if I can, if there's any time, I'll just briefly give a thumbnail sketch of the movie for your caller earlier.
Sure.
The film was really pretty much universally praised. But I don't know. I had a, and I agreed also, it was excellently done, but I did have to leave the theater for several minutes because, personally, I'm not one that is able to sit passively and watch extended graphic rape sequences rendered in real time.
Yeah.
I don't know where people have gotten to the point where they can sit there passively and watch this kind of activity go on the screen. Whatever the movement of the story is, I, for several reviews have talked about, well, you needed to have that in there so that it made sense for the story later and it justified action later. I don't buy that. It's really, I don't feel that it was necessary. That's a personal thing. If you're cool with graphic, brutal sex violence happening on the screen, you'll be okay with the movie. But otherwise, the movie was excellently done. It is an intriguing story. The characters are really interesting. And definitely see it before they do the watered-down, homogenized, eviscerated American version.
Right.
And likewise, Let the Right One In for a great horror movie that maybe your guests would enjoy. I don't know if you've seen that. The original
Swedish
version. I love
that. That is the best vampire movie that's been made in the past 5 years.
We're on the same page. I love it. Anyway, I don't want to take up all your time. Thank you so much for a great show. Really enjoying it. I'm going to continue to listen.
Thanks, Jim.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm with Jim. I can't sit through, you know, graphic rape scenes either. I don't know. I don't know. People, I guess, have a high tolerance for that kind of thing. But it's nice to hear that Jim has been able to change the scope of theater going in his town. That's encouraging.
Yes, and let me comment on that, too, because I have not seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Year or so ago, there was a remake of a horror film called Last House on the Left that had what I thought was the most graphic and brutal rape scene I had ever seen put on screen. And in that case, though, I was not that involved with the movie anyway, so it didn't strike me as strongly as Jim was taken by the scene in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But it's anytime something like that is so strong and so much different than the other things you're seeing on screen, I think the filmmaker has done something wrong. I don't want to criticize something I haven't seen, and I won't do that, but there are limits that to popular entertainment, the things that can be shown and the ways that they can be shown. I'll leave it at that.
Well said. Thanks a lot for that call, Jim. Lots of interesting points there. And moving along to Christine, joining us from Madison. Welcome, Christine.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I now have several comments. One is talking about good video stores, and I wanted to make a plug for 4-Star Video on Henry Street in downtown Madison. It has a tremendous collection, and if people are nearby, they may want to go there. And tremendous collection of foreign films. I should, in full disclosure, say my daughter is a manager there, but I know that anybody they hire has to take a test on how much they know about movies. But Netflix has really, really hurt. And in fact, some of my friends always hate to tell me if they've gotten something from Netflix, because it has taken a real chunk out of the video store world. And then I wanted to make a comment about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Sure.
I am a mystery reader, and I read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and the rape scenes have to be in there to make sense of the book. And as I was talking with a friend, we said they are brutal, but there's a reason, because that brutality is critical to the main character. But I didn't think that, and we thought that they were not gratuitously done as to the brutality that's described in the book, because the title of the book in Sweden was Men Who Hate Women.
Oh.
So if you don't want to see this kind of thing, then don't go. But those of us who have read the book felt that it followed the book very well, and that the scenes were handled in the best way that they could, but they are a critical part to the psyche of the main character, Lisbeth.
And you, just to be clear, you've seen the film too?
Yes, I've read the book,
and so you thought it was appropriate to the story that was being told?
It had to be in there, because it's critical to the psyche of the young woman who is sort of a goth character, and what happened to her in her youth and what has happened. And it's why she behaves the way she behaves. So you have to have those scenes in there. But I thought that they, from the brutality of it that's described in the book, it is not gratuitous. It does cover, and I think it's probably better done than it would be done by an American filmer. But if I think knowing that, if you know that and you know you don't like this kind of thing, then don't go to the movie, even if everybody's saying it's great. Mm. But those of us who've read the book feel that it follows the book. It really handles the book very well, but I don't see how you could leave those scenes out.
Okay, well, thank you, Christine. And Christine was talking earlier about her daughter who works at the video store in Madison, and it sounds as though Netflix has really taken a bite out of their business. And I wonder if, Mike, a lot of people are doing, though, what you do, which is going to both. That is what I do, too. I go to the video store with my son so he can pick out some stuff that he can actually see and put his hands on, but we also do Netflix.
Yeah, and the one thing that a video store does, and I would bet that the one Christine was talking about is like this, is that they are going to have a lot of things that you might not know about. Netflix is great if once you've found out about something and you want to see it, they have virtually everything. But if, say, you're, you know, interested in old Gloria Swanson movies, then a good video store is going to have a section of older movies that will show you, you know, if you're interested in Gloria Swanson, well, look at something that Spencer Tracy did. That will open your horizons in a way that I think you can't get even from the various suggestions that Netflix or any of the online places will give you a list of other titles you might like. I think you're much better served by being in a section of older films where you're seeing the boxes, can pick them up, look at them, learn a little bit more right there. That, is, to me, is the really good thing about a video store, and that's what I miss because I don't really have a good one very close to me.
Do you think that video stores can come back at this point? It seems as though they're clearly in decline. Is there anything that they can do to become viable again?
I hate to be pessimistic, but I don't think so. I think it is stores like Christine was talking about that already have their established clientele that are in an area where they know there is that interest there. In a way, it's also what Jim was talking about of you know, a group of movie fans getting together to start this theater. You've got to have the group there that is going to, you know, make the theater economically viable or the video store.
Thanks so much for your call, Christine. And a call now from Barbara from Fond du Lac. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to put in a plug for the local library. I've found a lot of the old classic movies there. And with your interlibrary loan, I can get pretty much anything I'm looking for as far as the old Groucho Marx, True Grit, that sort of thing the caller called about.
The library, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Mike Mayo, do you go there?
I do, and as a matter of fact, my library system is very good with that, and I find it particularly useful with documentaries. If I'm doing research for anything I'm writing or working on, the library is a really good resource for nonfiction DVDs, and they also, most libraries still have VHS tapes, which are getting harder and harder to find. And there are a lot of things that are on VHS that aren't on DVD. And so we really, you know, should keep that in mind. There's another world out there. And, okay, VHS isn't as great as DVD in a lot of ways, but it's still a viable option to see any kind of movie.
We're getting toward the end of the hour here, and I know there's a couple movies that you said you got your eye on coming down the road in July. One is called Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio, and the other is from Christopher Nolan, The Adjustment Bureau. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Well, actually, Christopher Nolan also did Inception. He's the director of Inception. He's
okay.
The guy that did Dark Knight and Memento, and this has been getting an awful lot of advertising, and so this could be the more serious, thought-provoking, entertaining movie that we're waiting for. The Adjustment Bureau is looks very similar in some ways, in that it has what seems to be a real setting that also has some fantasy or science fiction elements. It stars Matt Damon and Emily Blunt and looks very, very good. It's due at the end of July, and Inception is due July 16th. And I think those are both movies that I've kind of got circled because I think they may be worth a trip to the theater to see as opposed to waiting for DVD.
What did you say Inception was about again?
It is Leonardo DiCaprio, and it is about a world where dreams can influence reality or reality influences dreams. It looks very good, and Christopher Nolan does not make boring movies. His movies tend to be challenging in a lot of different ways, from Dark Knight to Memento, and I'm really looking forward to this. It has just DiCaprio looking to be at the top of his game, and he's a movie star that I find very interesting. He's also in the Martin Scorsese movie that was out earlier this year, Shutter Island, which I also recommend to movie fans who are in a more Hitchcockian mode.
And that one came out on DVD recently, right?
Yeah, that's just out on DVD a couple of weeks ago, and it's one that's, if you saw it in theaters, you're going to want to take another look at it on DVD because it's a movie that there's all kinds of clues being laid in all through it, so when you see it the second time, you'll see things you missed the first time.
Well, Mike Mayo, as always, it's been really fun to talk with you this morning. Thanks so much for being on with us.
And thanks to all your callers. They are so much fun to listen to. I learn so much every time I talk with you guys.
Oh, definitely. It's been great. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Mike Mayo joining us this hour, the former contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, and he wrote the column It Came from the Video Store. He's the author of the books Video Premieres, Horror Show, and War Movies, and editor of the Video Hound DVD Guide. Thanks so much to Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease for production this morning. If you'd like a copy of this program, you can call the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. Ask for program 617D. I'm Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.